go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Colossians. We're in chapter 1. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. I want to direct your attention with me back to Colossians chapter 1. I told you sometimes I can sit down and I can just meditate on this chapter for 2 hours at a time. The chapter, I'm talking about trying to read it fast and you just can't do it. This book is so amazing. And we've talked about how faith works. And we've talked about spiritual understanding. And now we're going to talk about the knowledge of God. Those are all very deep issues. But we saw when you have real faith, it will find its expression in love. And then it will be based upon the hope. Salvation is an issue of eternity, not about morality. God takes bad people and makes them good. We don't become good people and get God. It doesn't work that way. God would have us be a people who understand our souls are in jeopardy. We need a Savior. And as we understand that, we grope after Him. As it says in the book of Acts, it says that men would grope after Him. When we begin to grope after something that makes sense, and we light upon Jesus, we see there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, and that Jesus is the only way to get to the Father. And so what I would suggest to you is we understood that there's a simplicity about our faith. The Bible talks in Corinthians. It says, listen, I'm afraid of you lest you be removed from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. And in our day, because we want to muscle people into a paradigm that we want them to fit into, we need to remember the simplicity, because you can't get people good and then have them get God. They need to feel deeply their need of a Savior. And we can't put any barriers or any roadblocks to their coming to see Him for all that He is and all that He represents. And that is grace, grace, amazing grace. We also saw spiritual understanding was something very important, because in spiritual understanding what we realize is that there is a lot of people who have understanding, but they don't have a spiritual understanding. There's knowledge and wisdom that is not governed by a spiritual understanding. Where do you let your mind go? When you think of the things of God, are you willing to say some things out loud in your mind or even with your mouth that you would be embarrassed if God would have been standing right next to you? You know, you need to rein it in sometimes. Why? Well, because we need to realize that we don't know everything that we need to know yet. And sometimes when you don't know something, you need to be careful about what you say about what you don't know. And that becomes spiritual understanding. I remember when I first got saved, I was a teenage smoker. I remember reading my Bible and I have a cigarette in my hand. I thought, this is just not right. Put that down and read my Bible. Because it just felt weird to be reading a Bible, smoking a cigarette at the same time. You see what I'm saying? Now, why is this being brought up? He says, I prayed that you might have wisdom and knowledge with all spiritual understanding, because they wanted deeper knowledge. Everybody likes to have the inside story on things. People go to jail for insider trading. But boy, how happy they are when they think they're getting away with it. Man, they're going to ramp up their bank accounts. But when they get busted, they're like, ah, that's not where I want to be. We all like to have inside knowledge. And the devil will lure us with the allure of knowledge, knowledge and power. You remember in 1 John, it talked about those Gnostics who said you had to have a special anointing. Those Gnostics who said you had to have deeper knowledge. And that's where they got their name, Gnostics. And people want knowledge, they want deeper knowledge, and they think, you know what, this is great, I like this simplicity thing, but you know, I'm above that. I don't need to engage. I don't need to love. I don't need to reach out, serve, and care. I don't need to evangelize. That's somebody else's job. I'm just going to sit here and get deeper and deeper and be smarter than anybody else in the room. Well, when they came up with that idea, they began to spawn these different things like Gnosticism and, of course, all of the world of the ancient days. We remember the Ephesians, when they got lit up about God, the people at Ephesus in the book of Acts brought all of their books of spells and they burnt them, because those spells were seated in the idea of a secret knowledge. This is just going to burn that bridge. I don't want to have secret knowledge. I don't need to have secret knowledge. So when Paul heard that the Colossians got saved, he said, I know what you're going to be struggling with. You're going to be struggling with something like you used to know. We like the familiar. We like that which is familiar to us. For them, it was the worship of angels. You remember the littering of the old ancient world. Man, they had Mars and Venus and Zeus and Aphrodite and all that stuff. They worshipped all kinds of gods that they created. So then, you know, that was some people's dilemma, but other people, they had the worship of angels, and they called them eons, and there were echelons of beliefs, of different kind of echelons of gods. It finds expression in a little bit in our modern-day Jehovah's Witnesses who say Jesus isn't God, he's a God, because they like the idea of echelons for some reason. No, we don't need deeper knowledge. We need to seat ourselves in what we might call the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. It's simple. He loved and He gave His life. He gives us grace when we receive Him as our Savior. In fact, He goes beyond that. He says to as many as received Him, He gives the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. And it's all about Jesus. He's the hero. We can't save ourselves. We needed a Savior, and He came. And He veiled His deity. The Bible talks about Him in a kenosis passage in Philippians 2. The Bible says He, being in the form of God, thought it not a thing to be grasped onto, to be equal with God. But He made Himself of no reputation. See that? He made Himself. Because only He could do it. He made Himself of no reputation, but took upon Him the form of a servant. Nobody ever conjured God like God was going to manifest Himself. Nobody ever saw Him as coming as a servant and one who washed feet and died for the likes of you and me. Because the wisdom of God is foolishness to the world, but it puts all the wisdom of the wise to silence when you stand back and look at what He did. The Bible says He bore our sins in His body on the tree. So spiritual understanding is where the governor comes from. You may want more knowledge. You may want more insight. And there is insight and knowledge to be had. Chapter 2 talks about the treasures of knowledge and wisdom. So there is knowledge. There is wisdom to be had. It's in verse 2 of chapter 2. It says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. There are treasures and riches to be had in understanding, but you don't bypass God's way. He takes us from where we are, and He has us desire the sincere milk of the Word that we may grow thereby. And these people had a propensity to want deeper knowledge, and so Paul says, for this cause, in verse 9 of chapter 1, we pray for you. Now, we looked at that at length last time, so we won't go into it deeply, but I want you to know he's praying for them to have spiritual understanding. And spiritual understanding is rooted in the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. If you try to go deeper, you're going to miss it. If you try to go above it, you're going to miss it. You need spiritual understanding. And that spiritual understanding we looked at as being rooted and founded in the will of God. And the will of God is usually very straightforward. And over and again, I would see in the Gospel of John, he would tell somebody like the woman taken in adultery, go and sin no more. The man who was healed as a blind man, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. You see this go and sin no more. It's a basic. He saves us from sin, not to sin. He saves us from sin, not in sin. He saves us from it. And He wants us to go and sin no more. Now, that's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. You struggle with it every day. But we fight from victory, not for victory. That's important to know. Now, what I wanted us to do before I dive into the great passage, which is probably based upon a hymn of the early church about who Jesus was as the firstborn, is I wanted us to fall back a little bit and look at verse 12. The Bible says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, we made much the first time we were together in Colossians about the fact that God wants us to know who we are. Yes, faith, love, and based on hope, but who are you? We saw that we were called saints in verse 2, and He said, you have love to all the saints. And saints were people who were alive at the time. In fact, it was the ones to whom He was writing. And so when you understand who you are, it will deliberately change how you are. And a lot of believers don't understand they're saints. And as saints, they have a calling placed upon their life. They've been set apart. They've been made holy ones. And God would have us be emblems of His grace. Be poster children for His cause. And as you look at this, you see Him saying, this is who you are. If you know who you are, you will know how to be. It will change your gait. It will change your behavior. It will change the direction of your life and of your tendencies. Guys, this is the truth. If you know you're a saint, if you know that, it will change you. You may have seen that movie years ago, Princess Diaries. Girl's got her hair all kinked out and she's got braces on her teeth and big, thick glasses, and somebody comes and tells her she's the princess of Novia or someplace like that. And then the next thing you know, she gets the makeover. Listen, you are children of the living God. That's what you need to know. If you don't know that, you won't behave properly. It will help rein you in. You'll have a hard time behaving even if you do know that. I want to be honest with you. This is a battle from here to home. But knowing who you are, joint heirs with Christ, children of the living God, saints, co-workers with Him, ambassadors, all these things are true of you if you know the Lord is your Savior. And He says, because you know all of that, it will change you. And it will be based upon a hope that's laid up for you in verse 5. When He comes down and He says in verse 12, giving thanks to God the Father, if we know who we are as saints, it's important for us also to know who the Father is. A lot of people think of the Father like they think of their human father. It's very natural, by the way. So be very careful, dads, how you discharge your function as a dad. He's our Heavenly Father, and the first thing a kid does is he projects on God the father he had as a human. Now, it may not be the right thing to do. Certainly it isn't. A man on the earth is not capable of discharging a perfect picture. But Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And as dads, we need to say, follow me as I follow Christ. And we need to be emblematic such that when they jump from us to Him, that they see clearly. You see, many times fathers are aloof, and so when a person comes to Christ, sometimes they kind of reflect that on God and think, well, He's the Father, He must be aloof. The Father is not aloof. Jesus said the Father Himself loves you. He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. The Bible says that God, the Father, so loved the world, right? That He gave His only Son. How much did He love you? How much did He love you? He gave His Son for you. He let Him bleed and die for you. He let Him suffer humiliations beyond our mind's ability to absorb for you. That's how much He loves. And so we need to know who the Father is. And some of the things we know about who people are is by what they do. Right? You know how your wife is. You know how your husband is. By what they do. Right? You know a lot about them. The fruit of the life. The knowledge of God is our title. And what we're seeing is the knowledge of God the Father set before us. He says in verse 12, we give thanks unto the Father. And at the end of verse 10, He says, He wants you to be increasing in the knowledge of God. And He says, now we give thanks to God the Father, if you will. So if you want to know who God is, look at what God does. And the first thing He does in verse 12 is it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Do you see what He did? Right out of the gate, it's just amazing to consider, but He made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance. Now, this inheritance is no small deal. I said a moment ago, join heirs with Christ. It said in another place, this inheritance is huge. In the book of Corinthians, it says that all things are yours. All things are yours. Guys, all things, right? So there's going to be some really cool stuff. And all of the stuff that is worked into the fabric of this experience that is good, positive, and a blessing, it is all for you as His child.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.